Tony? All right, I'm live. Hi, everybody. Welcome. Good afternoon. What the hell is that? I know it's day three, but there's still another day. You got to stay in there. Come on. All right, so today we're going to have some fun together, and I'm going to take you through a little journey on experiences. So this session is called Working Smarter, Automating Your Communications. The original title was called Standing Naked in the Rain, but they wouldn't let us go with that in the abstract, so we've ended up with this one here. So you'll see why in a minute. So let me introduce myself really quickly. My name's Grad Kahn. The five things you need to know about me are on this slide. Most important thing is my name, Grad Kahn. That is my one-stop social connection on any network. So you can type in Grad Kahn, and I'm the only one. The second thing is you'll notice that this car is covered in rain. It's because I live in the Pacific Northwest, and I actually live in Seattle in the Redmond area. So that's pretty much how it looks almost every single day. The third thing is the license plate. You see the license plate says Health Vault, if you can remember there aren't any vowels there. And Health Vault was why I was brought into the company. I was hired to Microsoft Research to build and launch what was our first cloud product. So it was kind of fun to do, and did that for about 5 years. The fourth thing is that's my daily driver. So yes, I am a giant geek. And then the fifth one is the question most people usually ask, which is, do you have a flux capacitor? Yes, I do. And I'll actually be in the St. Patrick's Day parade, because little known fact, the DeLorean is the only production vehicle made in Ireland, just outside Belfast. Their biggest problem was constant stoppages in workflow because of sort of bomb threats, if you think about 1981. So that's my car. So and then I was actually in the casino lobby, and I was Back to the Future game, and I'm a pretty big Back to the Future fan. You see me with my arms raised in victory. I just won 15 cents on the Back to the Future slot. So, like, seriously, how? I don't get them. I don't know. It's like you feed money in and it goes away. It's a fascinating exercise. I don't quite understand the attraction. And you stay there for a long time and you can feed a lot of money in. I don't get it. Anyway, but it was super fun watching the Back to the Future videos. And I have a tradition when I go to Vegas. I'm not here super often, about every 3 or 4 months. But I always spend $1 on a slot machine just to reinforce to myself why I shouldn't spend $1,000 on a slot machine. Okay, so we're going to head off to the presentation. But before I get that, a little bit of housekeeping. So as you walked in, you would have received a ticket. I don't know if you've got one or not. Does anyone have one of these pink raffle tickets? Did anyone get one of those? If you don't have one, there are folks in the room handing them out. I have some right here if you want to come to the stage. I'm happy to give you a couple right now. Rebecca, you can't win because you're a Microsoft employee. So sorry, you can't. So Microsoft employees and government employees, which seems incredibly unfair, are not qualified for this, but everyone else can win. And what we're going to do is we will be doing a raffle at the end of the presentation. We're going to give away 10 Office 365 subscriptions and 10 Lenovo tablets, either 8-inch or 10-inch. And this is my tricky and underhanded way of getting you to stay to the end of the session. So if you leave early, which you're welcome to do, you're not a prisoner, doors are open. You remember you might have won a tablet, so, or an Office 365 subscription. So, and then we'll have a little bit of fun at the end with that. So we've got about an hour of sort of demos and talks and all sorts of kind of fun stuff. Some stuff we're showing you today we've had in existence for about 9 months. Some stuff we've had in existence for literally, not kidding, 9 hours. Okay, so we're going to have, it's going to be a little tightrope walking. I'm going to kind of ask all of you to be our friends and live with us as we go through it. But we're pretty excited to show you what we're doing and where we're going. So let me talk a little bit about, where I put my clicker? Here. Let me talk a little bit about the end of January or early February. There was a game called the Super Bowl. I'm Canadian, so this is like still kind of fresh for me. But you guys heard of this thing? It's like this football game. Seems to be a big deal. Anyway, so the local team, Seahawks, actually won. It was very exciting. And I was actually in our social command center looking at what was going on in the social networks. It was a very interesting way to experience the game. It was also a kind of a historic Super Bowl. I mean, there was the game itself, I think, had a historic quality to it, but there was a historic quality also what we had done. I want to talk about that for a few minutes, and I'm going to lead that into really a discussion of experiences and kind of how things are changing in computing as computing power increases and computing becomes more abstracted away from the code and more closer to a user experience. But before I do that, how many people saw the game? Okay, so then this is like a little Seattle thing. So in Seattle, everyone's super excited to see the Seahawks win, right? And so there were three stages we all went through in the game, right? Stage number one was, oh my God, I hope they win. And in the first quarter, you know, it's kind of okay. You know, they're kind of hanging in there and sort of had a little lead. There's that really weird 2 points they got out of the gate. And it's kind of like, you know, playing golf with my daughter. You know, I'd always give her a couple extra points to start the game. I thought that was kind of nice of Denver to do that. And so we're kind of going, hope they win. That was kind of stage one. Stage two, which was kind of the end of the first half and the first minute of the second half, was, wow, they are winning. They're winning the Super Bowl. They're like winning. They could win this game. Really could win this game. And then the third phase was, wow, this is getting really embarrassing. Let them score. Let them score a goal. Come on, one. Let them get a few points. Okay, thank you. They got a few points. Okay, let's move on. Let's finish the game. It was a really great experience. So the thing that was also historic about it, which you may not have registered, but it was the first time that Microsoft had done a Super Bowl ad. Which is, when you think about it, kind of amazing when you just kind of think about the history of the company and all the advertising that we do. I don't know how many of you saw that ad, but I'm going to run the ad for you right now. Then I give you a little bit of the backstory of the ad and just show you how that sort of, time of change in the company is coming, which is quite interesting. So this ad is narrated by someone named Steve Gleason, who is a player in the New Orleans Saints, fairly famous player. And he now has Lou Gehrig's disease, known as ALS, and he is narrating this ad, and you'll see a bunch of clips. The other thing that's kind of interesting with this ad when you watch it is this is, we think, potentially the cheapest Super Bowl ad ever made, because almost all of it is found footage off the web. So very little of it was actually, so we shot Steve to do the narration, and then some of the stories you saw at the beginning are excerpts from it in the ad.
What is technology? What can it do?
When I lost my eyesight, I thought that my painting days were over.
How far can we go?
By using your hands, you can actually control your x-ray.
Technology has the power to unite us.
Hang on, honey. Hang on.
There he is.
You see him?
I can see him.
It inspires us. Technology has taken us places we've only dreamed.
Now I can do whatever I want.
It gives hope to the hopeless.
So your device is on. Can you hear me talking?
And it has given voice to the voiceless.
Now, what makes that ad interesting and different is that Microsoft has traditionally been a feeds and speeds company, very focused on products and features. And even when we did some fairly different advertising for the launch of Surface, we were effectively advertising a feature. You know, the keyboard clicks to the computer, and clicks and clicks and clicks and clicks, and apparently clicks a lot. I mean, even when you're dancing, like it's really clicky. Okay, and just in case you weren't sure, keyboard clicks. And that's always been sort of our tradition. And this is an ad that's not about, I mean, there's some products in there, obviously, but it's not specifically about speeds and feeds. It's about the experiences that are being created through the technology that we have. Because we live at a sort of seminal point in technology where technology is becoming backgrounded, and it's the experience that we're having with the technology that's becoming the dominant piece of user interface. And so I'm going to show you the background behind the Steve Gleason story. So this is a video that was kind of cut from the Super Bowl ad, and you'll see what his whole story is. And most people haven't seen this, and I think it's a pretty interesting story.
Those field goals. Look out! Right through! A kick block by Steve Gleason! Touchdown, New Orleans!
It's kind of unbelievable that Steve has a statue.
The statue is not about football. It's a symbol of the people in this region who chose to return and rebuild. I have ALS. With ALS, a person loses the ability to move and breathe on their own. I communicate verbally with the eye tracking technology.
I am Michelle Veriska Gleason. I am the wife of Steve Gleason and the mother of Rivers Gleason. Team Gleason is a foundation that Steve and I started a year after Steve was diagnosed.
Part of our mission is to raise awareness of this disease and specifically to help other people with ALS to live their lives as best they can.
Communication is a key element to our quality of life. The eye tracking technology runs on Windows, and Surface was the latest product we have discovered where it was enabled.
All day he's on his computer, whether he's tweeting or he's speaking. It's powerful enough for him, which is huge. I think fatherhood means almost everything to Steve.
Rivers, are you showing off?
With Rivers, it's created a special bond that many fathers and sons will never have.
He's able to get some physical time with Rivers because he'll climb up on his lap. Steve, when they're watching movies together, can talk back and forth to Rivers about what's going on. And the time that he has with Rivers on his lap, I think it's safe to say, are his favorite times.
They say your eyes are the window to your soul. I suppose this means the technology allows me to bear my soul. Although I'm hopeful for a medical cure for ALS, I have always said, until there is one, technology is my cure.
Yeah, I love that story, and I love that technology is enabling things to happen that really would be almost impossible a few years ago. So the reason I'm showing these ads and these pieces of stories, partly because I actually think they're very inspiring, and as a person in the IT industry, I feel great about being part of an industry that's making these kinds of things happen for people. So that's kind of cool. The second thing, though, is it is a milestone for us at Microsoft because we're starting to talk about experiences. And really, it's Satya, who's our new CEO, he talks about Microsoft as a company that helps people do more. And this do more line, you're starting to hear it more and more from us. And really, in a way, I think we're doing something what's referred to often as a Copernican shift. And Copernican shift is a term that I've used over the years. I love it as a way of thinking about the way the world works. I'm going to kind of take you guys through it really quickly right now, just to give you a quick orientation. And there will be a quick test at the end. And so let me talk about what a Copernican shift is. So does everyone know who Copernicus is? Okay, so I'm half Polish. So I'm a proud Copernicus fan who was a Pole. And just in case you wonder, my other half of me is Irish. So that's what drives the car. And if you're ever curious on what an Irish-Polish marriage is like, lots of drinking, lots of fighting. Just imagine, right? Okay. Anyway, so Copernicus was actually he was in the church, and he had this task, which was to improve the church's calendar. And he was an astronomer and mathematician. The calendar was never quite right, and the calendar is important to the church because it tells them when the holidays are going to occur. And the calendar that they had was, this Gregorian calendar was pretty close, but they couldn't predict things like the retrograde motion of Mars. It seemed to be always a little off. And they always were having trouble landing holidays, especially ones like Easter. And they couldn't figure out why. And they kept adding calculations on top to try to explain it. And they got closer, but they could never quite explain the motion. And the reason why is they had a pretty sort of a natural view of the world. And they had this view of the world which was based on perception. So if you stand in a field as a human being and you don't know anything about space, never saw the movie Gravity, you'd think, okay, sun's rising over there, goes up in the sky, goes down over there. Next day, sun rises over there, goes up in the sky, goes down over there. Looks like the sun's going around the planet. It's a perfectly natural observation. We make fun of people, but I mean, what else is going on, right? Planet doesn't seem to be moving. And so that's really the pre-Copernican universe that they were trying to explain the motion of the sun, the stars, and all that kind of, and the planets. Of course, Copernicus, as we know, said, what if What if the Earth is going around the sun? What if that was going on? And he redid all the calculations, and everything fell into place very easily. And suddenly, you could explain celestial mechanics. And he didn't actually change the rotation of the planet. What he did is he mapped perception to reality. And in doing so, really unlocked centuries of scientific advancement and, you know, is mostly responsible for why we're here today and why 10 of you will win Lenovo tablets. So really, when you win, thank Copernicus, okay? And the kind of one little sort of tidbit, is kind of funny thing, is although he did figure this out, he didn't publish his findings because although he was doing it theoretically to improve the calendar of the church, he realized it was also heretical, which was, you know, kind of a bad thing back then, right? And so he wrote it up, and he had it published on his deathbed. And they actually, the legend is, they handed it to him as he was taking his last breaths. And then they published it and issued it. It still took a couple of decades for it to kind of be accepted, but obviously it's kind of the way the world works today. So what does that have to do with us, right? And so with us, you know, I talked about standing on a field and watching the sun. Well, for us, it's the same thing. You know, we stand in our companies, and we spend our whole day talking about our products. And we talk to customers about our products. And we talk to prospects about our products. And we talk to our suppliers about our products. And our products seem really important. And the products are the products are the products. That's what we're talking about all the time. That's what is rotating. That's the universe that we're in. And what rotates around us are these customers, right? Because we're standing on the product planet. That doesn't seem to be moving at all. And these customers are the ones that kind of come in and out of the door. But the reality is that actually what's really going on is that the customer's at the center of the universe. And what's really rotating around them are experiences that they're choosing from. And so this concept of experiences being the things that customers are choosing is a really interesting kind of head shift as technologists to understand what are those experiences and how have they changed. So, you know, the way to think about this is experiences are king. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to talk to you about something that we're doing inside the U.S. subsidiary of Microsoft, and called the Experience Factory. So we'll take you through a little bit of that. And we're actually going to show you a couple of demos of experiences, one of them based on Windows 8 and one of them based on Office. That's kind of what we're going to be doing for the next 45 minutes. It'll be a ton of fun. So let me kind of just kind of finish a little thing on experiences, which I think is an interesting way of looking at it. So not too long ago, we would go into an office and we would work on a desktop, right, which we would start up in the morning. We would work all day, and then we would shut it down and leave the office at night. Do you guys remember, some people used to have covers? Remember the big plastic covers they put on? Remember those? Okay, it's always good to judge the age of the crowd. Okay, I'll try another little age test here. Do you remember the printers? They used to be inside a box to keep the noise down? Okay, not so much there. Okay, all right, I got it. Sort of, okay, late 80s, got it. Okay, now I got it. And then we would go home, and we would, on the way home, we would listen to the radio or our cassette player or our 8-track or whatever in a car. We would listen to music, and we would get out of the car. Then we would walk into the house, and then we would sit down in front of another device called a television, and it would be attached to a cable box or an antenna, and we would watch that. And then we might want to connect with friends and family, and we would call them, usually in the evenings or on the weekends. So much so that AT&T actually had a very popular product for many years called Evenings and Weekends. That was when we did all of our social connections. And that's not that long ago. I mean, that is within the time span and lifespan of everyone in this room. And by the way, just you'll notice little Back to the Future things, Easter eggs all the way through this. There are no prizes for spotting them. They just keep me amused as I go through the deck. And so if you think about what happens today, we're not doing that anymore. See? What we're doing today is we are doing all the things I just described iteratively. Right? I am connecting with friends, and I'm doing work, and I'm doing all the different things that we do. You see many people in here doing work while I'm talking, or maybe they're talking to friends. Like, it's great, right? Not distracting at all for speaker. And, you know, thinking about other things, people are taking pictures. There's someone taking a picture with what looks like an excellent Surface device. Thank you. And so you've got a lot of people doing different things all at the same time. So this idea that moments have become very, very fast switch. And this concept of fast switching in moments mean that we need to make the most of every moment we have. So if you think about your own behavior, think how impatient you've become. Right? My wife the other day was standing in front of the microwave, and she said, "Why does this goddamn thing take so long to boil a thing of water?" And I said, it's 40 seconds. She said, 40 seconds I don't have, okay? There's a little, she's not here, so I'm going to go on all day on this one. But the other little kind of interesting thing is she can never wait to the end of the microwave cycle. So whenever I walk in the kitchen, there's always like 3 seconds left on the microwave. Too much time. Those 3 seconds, I need them. But think about how impatient you get. Think how frustrated you get when a product doesn't work. I'm frustrated because in that moment, I need it working right away because I don't have a lot of moments. I need to fast switch really quickly. I don't have time to luxuriously dial and all that kind of stuff. So this idea of fast switching and having more value from moments is sort of, I think, endemic to the experiences that people are creating. So it's kind of what we're going to sort of try to capture. And this is just like a really, I'm not going to go through this in detail, but the bottom right, I think, is very funny. Especially if you look at the legend. This is just our, in a day, you know, we're changing really quickly. We're social and we're commercial and we're traveling and we're up and down. All these things are happening at the same time. I think it's a really interesting world we live in, but it's a world which I think is demanding a lot more of the products that we have. At Microsoft, what's really neat about what we've done is that our products are designed to work together, right? So SharePoint integrates really nicely with Outlook. The thing we haven't done yet is we haven't explicitly tied them together into an experience. We've said you can tie them together, but we haven't tied them together. And so I'm going to talk today about the outputs of something we're calling the Experience Factory. And Experience Factory is something that I lead with my team. I am also the CMO for the US, so it's kind of my sort of dual role. And it is actually, in my mind, a very pure marketing type function, because we're not really developing, we're really assembling things into experiences that are relevant to people. The kind of impetus for it was our president, Judson Althoff, said, hey, I really want to be able to tell a one Microsoft story, and I think by doing that, I can put us into a category of one. Category of one meaning nobody else has got the breadth that we have, and that's not meant to be, you know, a brag. It's just meant to be, it's a kind of a fact. I mean, companies had a very deliberate strategy of having a wide range of products. To tie those together, they put us in a very interesting spot. And how do we use all of our technologies in one place? And so Judson kind of gave us the air cover and confidence and excitement to go forward with that. So we have two platforms. You're probably familiar with these. One's called Windows, one's called Office. And I'm going to first talk a little bit about what we did on Windows. And on Windows, we utilized a piece of functionality in Windows 8 called an app portal, which most people don't know about. In Windows 8, there are live tiles. Almost everyone's familiar with live tiles. There's a sub-tile that goes below that. There's a subordinate type of tile called a grid tile. And a grid tile is very similar to a live tile in that it displays BI information, but they can't be moved and their groupings can't be renamed. So effectively, you can use the OS to assemble an application out of the OS. And the beauty of that is that anything that runs on Windows, whether it's made by Microsoft or anybody else, doesn't matter who it is, will work in an app portal. So whenever I'm talking to a customer, they'll say, well, we use Salesforce. Will it work? Yes, you can use Salesforce if it runs on Windows. Well, I use PeopleSoft to do my HR. No problem. Does it run on Windows? Yes, it can run in an app portal, because the app portal is an OS level application construction engine, which is kind of cool. Obviously, it uses Active Directory, so we can have role-based access, and you can do some cool things with that. In terms of, there is a new piece of functionality in 8.1 that allows you to turn grid tiles on or off based on Active Directory settings. So you can actually present the application differently to different people based on their role, and you can present the data to people differently based on their role as well. And we'll talk about that a teeny-weeny bit. And I'm actually going to sort of get into a demo on that in 1 second. So there are a number of reference implementations that we've made of our app portals. There's a list of them here, basically obviously looking at all the core functions and some specialized areas like healthcare and finance. What we're going to do today is on sales, and it's called the Sales Productivity Solution. It's not that creatively named because we just want to use this as a reference implementation to show you how it could work. All the products across the bottom are all inside this thing. So this is an integration across all these things. In some cases, things are actually integrated. In other cases, they're simply integrated on the glass. And on-the-glass integration is sometimes just as effective because of some of the autostat features of 8.1. I'll show you that too. So one of the kind of cool things about app portals is they're apps. So you can put them in the corporate app store. You can update them. I have a CIO friend who runs New York Presbyterian Hospital. I showed it to her. She's like, oh my God, this is exactly what I need. So I got nurses coming and going all the time. And every time a new nurse starts, I'm setting up this entire thing for them, this entire machine image. It's really tough. And then they leave. And I got another person to set up. What I can do now is I can put their whole job in an app. I can update that app whenever I want. And I can control access to the patient data that they should have based on their Active Directory setting. So we're actually building something like that for them right now. The other cool thing is by building this out of building blocks, and you're going to hear the same story when we get to SharePoint, we were able to do it very quickly. So the first version, we went from Judson saying, I would really like to do this, to being on the stage at our global sales conference 8 weeks later. And what Judson showed was the actual data in the company and his persona tied into Active Directory. So it was like the real application that he uses every day on his desktop. So let's sort of switch to the demo. So I'm going to switch to my machine. Okay. This could be, let's see if we can do this. Yeah, all right. So far, so good. Okay, that was the first real test for me. Okay, so this is Sales Productivity Solution. So let me just kill this process for a second. I'll just kind of give you sort of the top to bottom on it. So this would just be, you know, standard Windows 8 start screen, and there it is. Now this is the Contoso one, Contoso being our sort of fake company. So the data I'm showing you is a fake database for a theoretical sporting goods company, not the actual Microsoft sales data numbers, for obvious reasons, I think. But there's a lot of stuff in here that is Microsoft, like the way we've organized the districts and the account teams and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of a blend of both, but the data don't like start trading stocks and stuff like that. It's not real. Plus, Contoso is doing quite well. So then this first screen, because this is a demo, I can actually choose the persona that I want to go in as. And this kind of starts to talk to the Active Directory story. Depending on who I choose to go in as, SPS looks different. Okay, I'm going to go in as Brady, because that gives us the highest level of view, and I can sort of demonstrate all that functionality. But I'm happy to show other ones as well later. And so what you see here looks like a second start screen, right? But these don't actually move, right? They're just stuck there, and you can't rename the grouping. So basically, these are assembled, and we said, okay, what does a salesperson need to do the job? They need to be able to understand their pipeline. They need to know how they're doing against their quota. They need to understand how marketing activity is contributing to what they're trying to get from a lead standpoint. They need to understand their scorecard. We're a very scorecard-based company, so they need to see that. They need to be able to use their tools. They need to be able to use Outlook and Yammer and Skype and all that kind of stuff. And they need a sort of set of resources that typically are just like a bunch of kind of links they have in their browser, which when they switch machines, they lose and all this kind of stuff. And so they're like, what are all the different links I need to go to? And then this, because it's the demo, has a special section, which is stuff to use if you need to figure out how to compose the demo. So I'm not going to show that to you guys as much today. So let me just kind of quickly go through. So there's this cool thing in 8.1. So when you click on district targets, bam, up comes district targets. And you can see what Windows 8.1 did is it auto-snapped. So it's effectively almost like an old-style iframe. And it looks like an app, right? So on the left-hand side, you know, we've still got SPS, still in there, right? Or we can slip between the different sections. And then we also have this piece over here. And so now I can stay in my resources section. You'll see how we size these things to be similar to the size of the grouping, and then I can say, well, what are my offers and incentives? What does my sales desk data look like? Which is kind of a cool thing, and a whole bunch of stuff. This is our sales excellence team. BIF is what we use to invest in different accounts. And MEC, which is kind of a cool thing, which is the Microsoft Experience Center. And we actually have one set up on the expo floor. If you get a chance, I'd encourage you to try to take a look at it tomorrow. It really is a deep dive on the technology and kind of how to use it. It's all right there, right? So, and that's not that big a deal. I mean, it took maybe 10 minutes to compose that section. But for a lot of our salespeople, it is like a revolutionary idea, because as new things come out, we just pop them in there and they're all in one place. We use Yammer a lot, so we've got Yammer going, and we obviously use Skype as well. So you can also auto-snap multiple windows, which I always really like, and so I'm not going to make a Skype call right now. kind of fun. And then we have scorecards, so you can go into the scorecard, and I can actually sort of choose a region, choose a district, and choose an account unit, and I can actually see the scorecard for that account unit. So I can drill right down into a particular section. Then I can go into marketing activity, and marketing is actually kind of cool. So we actually, in marketing, we generate leads for the sales team, but it's sometimes a little hard to know where those leads are going and who they are. And in here, you can actually see that, hey, this particular group of people at Retail Los Angeles have all done something with the company, and I can see who's done what and where they've done it. That's a very, very, very unusual thing for us to have normally, and people love that. And we've also created a companion app on our phones. So we make something called a Windows phone. Most people haven't heard of it. I probably got in trouble already now. Honestly, I love my Windows phone, and this is my Windows phone. Can you see this? Oh. I blew it. So hang on a second. I think I know what that was. Yeah, I forgot. Someone shout out, what number is this one? 3. Thank you. Okay, this should be cool. I think, there you go. So there's the phone. And so we actually have an SPS app. Let me go back to the home screen again. So there's an SPS app right here, and just launches. And so it's on the Windows phone as well. It's because the Windows phone uses the same interface as Windows 8. Kind of cool. Kind of same thing. And again, sort of building it out of the same building blocks. And you can go into these different sections, and you can sort of see forecast type. There's a win-loss report, which is pretty neat. You can sort of change it. You can sort of look at it in different areas. One thing the phone is interesting, is we're doing a few things we don't have on the main app, which is this. I love this little speedometer thing. It's kind of cool. And then the reason I actually went here, got distracted, is to go to Marketing Prospects. So Marketing Prospects is on the phone as well. And because this is a mobile device, we thought we'd probably add some functionality, which is if I was to hold down on this, you can actually email or call that person. So I can just press call, and then I can call them right now. But I think I'm going to leave Jamie alone. Be kind of weird, I think. And I can also send them an email. And so this sort of ability to have the application in multiple settings also kind of contributes to that fast switching experience sort of story. And then let me kind of just kind of finish up with sort of some of the BI stuff. So over here on Pipeline, you can actually see the top 10 deals. And this is a really interesting example of descending BI. So let me go back here again. So on the first page. Thank you. See, you're a great audience. So you're helping me out, throwing out the numbers. I don't even have to remember them anymore. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Can you see that now? All right, great. Okay, so now I'm going to go to the top left-hand corner, and where it says top deals. I'm going to click on that. And so you saw kind of a high-level BI dashboard in Windows 8, and now we're in the top deal section. And so these are the top 10 deals. And then I can pull this over here. So there's a little spreadsheet to the right. So now I can kind of get a slightly deeper view. And the neat thing about this spreadsheet is it kind of lives this sort of in-between world between touch and spreadsheets. And so I can actually take, say, the due month, and I can move that over here, and it restarts it by due month. And I can say due month and sales stage. I can sort it over here. It's pretty cool. I can get rid of sales stage because I didn't like that so much. I can clear it all entirely. That still may not be enough. And so, you know, how do I get to the really deep detail? So if you swipe up in this, you can actually open anything in Power View. And this is actually a Power Map. I don't know if you guys have this. This is a free plugin in Excel 2013, and it's a super cool interface. There's a couple of legends here. I'll just give you kind of a quick tour here. But you can get rid of those, and you can get rid of that. And so this is just a map. And it's actually, I can actually move it with my hand, and I can zoom in with my hand, or I can use a mouse. And then it's also got this time component, because in this case, the sales are based on time, so I can press this little thing, and it'll kind of animate and show me when things are growing. So I can see, wow, there's something kind of happened. Hang on, let's pause that and pull that back. When did that really bounce? That red little, look at that, July 1. So what is that? Okay, and I can see that I've got a New York team sports are suddenly big July 1. So that's something to focus on. So these are just kind of, you know, quick visualization tools. There's about, you know, kind of, you can get 200,000 row spreadsheets turning into maps like this. It makes it sort of a lot of fun. And then you can also look at things in Power View, And if you're familiar with PowerView, it's a contextually sensitive set of graphs. So if I'm changing any one of the different graphs you see here, it'll actually resort the rest of it. So I can click on the 20% stage, and then it'll actually resort everything based on 20% stage. I can also open up the districts, and I can pick sort of different areas. So I can actually say, let's look at Mid-Atlantic and maybe Southeast. And you can see even the Bing map is sort of contextually changing as well. And then I can sort of zoom in on certain sales stages, and it'll show me what it looks like in those areas. And so these are just, you know, sort of typical visualization tools. There are great products out there from companies like Tableau and stuff like that. But now a lot of the stuff's getting built into Excel, and it allows you to, you know, have very fungible sort of data experience. And it's all inside the sales productivity experience. And so now what you're seeing is, I take you through this, you're seeing Office 365, and I'll show you in a second sort of what else we have. And so the last thing I'm going to show you here is, if I click on an opportunity ID here, it snaps open Dynamics. And so now, as a salesperson, every single thing that I use in a typical day is all in this one place, all managed through the corporate app store. And here's the Dynamics application. It's got Yammer built into it, so people talking about that account can have a discussion. And we actually have this cool thing in the bottom here, which is powered by InsideView, and it has social insights on that company, and you can get really great detail. So that's SPS, and that's an example of sort of the experience stories we're trying to build, which are not necessarily related to just a single product, but really talk about multiple products all brought together. And I do sometimes get questions on kind of, how do I get one of those, or how do I buy that? And we're not selling app portals, because they're like, that's part of Windows 8, right? And so what I showed you includes all the stuff on this left. Like, that's what's in there in terms of own. Most people own this stuff already. Almost everybody owns almost all this stuff. And then there's an integration that you have to do. You can do it yourself. It's not that hard. Or, you know, you can get MCS, or you can get a partner. There's lots of different ways of doing that. But you're building something out of component parts. So you're not buying something. And I love that story, and I think it's a fun story. So I think I got through that relatively unscathed. So, okay, now that's a product that's been around for 9 months. Okay, now we're going to do the one that's been around for 9 hours. Okay? So we're going to talk about our other platform, which is, of course, Office. And what we're going to go through here, this is sort of a story around apps for Office. Now, quick test here. How many people are familiar with apps for Office? That's something, okay, pretty good. Okay, I like that. It's about half the room. Look at this. Look at that, just like a pro. Switching machines, going back. So let me show you what apps for Office are really super quick. So this is an email from Steve Capo. Steve's one of our teammates who's been helping pull all this together. Just a Forrester article. And if you look in, there's a little ribbon inside Outlook. If you click here where it says Get More Apps, it will actually take you to the Office Store, where you can, get more apps. And this store has been improving over the last few days, because there's been some stuff they've been announcing here at the conference, which has been really great. The other thing is, I'll just show you how some of them work. Communications Manager is the one we're going to look at today. But we've also got things like LinkedIn. So actually, maybe I'm just going to open this a little bit. So I've got LinkedIn. So what this will do is it'll take everybody that is in the message and bring up their LinkedIn profiles, which is kind of cool. Kelly, who's going to be on the stage in a minute, is someone who I work with really closely, but looks like I'm not connected with her on LinkedIn, so I could just connect with her there, and it'll send a connection request to her. Also, there's this really cool integration to Bing Maps, whereas if there is an address in the email, it will say, hey, it looks like there's an address in the email, and it'll map it for you. And then you can just go and kind of get directions the way you normally do in any mapping service. Nothing fancy there. But just this idea that there's these little helper apps built right into Office that enable you to be more productive, to fast switch more rapidly, to get more out of each moment is, I think, a pretty compelling part of where we're trying to go. Now, the key thing is that this is still super new. There have been a lot of announcements on apps for Office. The platform's still really new. And so we thought it'd be fun as a team in the Experience Factory to build an experience that we would find kind of compelling and sort of interesting. So let me switch back to here. So The what we've got in this kind of grouping of applications are what we'll call enterprise productivity solutions. And the one we want to talk about today is called Communications Manager. And so Communications Manager is a way that I can actually work differently than I work today. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But a lot of it's about posting and creating content and communicating with my team and with others externally. I like this one because it was fun to build because I actually built something basically that I wanted to use for myself. So I thought that was kind of cool and kind of the thing you get to do, I guess, when you lead something like that. So I'm going to invite a couple people up to the stage. First person I want to invite up is Stephanie Worley. Stephanie, big hand of applause for Stephanie. So thank you, Stephanie. Welcome. So Stephanie is my communications manager, and Stephanie loves me, right?
I do.
She loves how organized I am. She loves how efficient I am, clear direction all
always,
the time.
She loves.
Okay, so Stephanie's going to talk about the real story in a minute. So Stephanie's going to talk about how she works, and she's going to work with it. The other person I want to introduce is Kelly Piber. Kelly, come on up. So Kelly has two roles. So Kelly is the program manager in our PMO, and she actually led the creation of Communications Manager. So she has two roles today. Partly she's going to talk about what it was like to build it and construct it, so that'll be pretty fun. And then if anything goes wrong, I have someone to step aside and blame. So it's always good to have someone else up here. Thanks for coming up.
Thank you.
I'm kind of looking forward to this next part of the presentation.
Same here.
So you guys got to keep me on track, make sure I don't miss anything as we go through this. So I think what I'm going to do is talk briefly about what Communications Manager is, just to kind of orient everyone.
That sounds great.
Then I'll ask you a few questions about building it, and then we'll kind of get into your part, and we'll go from there.
Perfect.
Okay, awesome. All right, so the Communications Manager has a lot of similar characteristics to what we talked about in SPS on an overall basis, which is you can automate workflows and processes. What we're using today is SharePoint Workflow Engine. So there's a whole pile of features that we didn't have to build because we're using SharePoint Workflow Engine, like, for example, integration into Outlook, and we'll show some interesting calendaring functionality. The second thing is that it's very easy to update because it lives in the Office App Store. So again, you know, the app just updates as we have new improvements. And what we wanted to try to do here is integrate all the things that we all do every day into something that would be really useful. The cool thing is when we did SPS, we did that one in 8 weeks. And we felt that was, you know, fast, but not fast enough. So we decided to do this one in
six weeks.
I sometimes feel like it would have been nice to do it in 8 weeks.
I think it would have been nice as well.
Yeah. So
yes.
I'm not sure why. But there you are. That's what happened. And there's you.
That is me.
And there's Stephanie.
We're looking good.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah. You can tell we all work together. Look at this. Look at this massively coordinated team up here. You know, you and I should have worn skirts.
I wish.
Then we would have matched.
And
Kelly.
High heels.
And high heels.
But that'll be next
time. I should have worn heels,
time.
Actually. It'd be nice. Yeah. Put the balls on my feet. Okay, so Kelly, just before we kind of get into this, do you want to talk for a second about, you know, what it was like to build this in 6 weeks and kind of what the sort of experience of doing that was?
Definitely. So we started off speaking with you, and I know you had some challenges in your current process with communications management.
Opportunities.
Yeah. We'll call them opportunities. So we really wanted to understand what those opportunities were. So we sat down with Stephanie, who's Grad's communications manager, and really gained a sense of what is her job and what are all the various processes that she's going through on a day-to-day basis. That allowed us to see that there was definitely room for improvement and that what she's going through right now with content creation, content management, and content distribution probably wasn't the most efficient process. So we knew that we could improve this leveraging some workflow and automation. So we reached out to Nintex and looked at their Nintex workflow for Office 365 app that is currently available in the Office Store today. And we began really working with them and their partner, Provoke Solutions, to identify not only what our challenges were, but what we wanted the functionality to entail to improve both Stephanie and Grad's lives.
I think it was mostly Stephanie, actually.
I think it was mostly Stephanie.
I felt my life was perfectly fine. I mean, as I'm getting in the elevator, Stephanie, write me an article. Yeah. It seemed to work out fine.
When Grad is happy, Stephanie is happy, and we're all happy. So. All right. We worked with them to really design the solution. And the one thing I do want to note, which is really interesting with Communications Manager, in most solution builds, you'll see that people spend the majority of their time actually designing and building the solution versus doing the user requirements. We did pretty much the opposite with Communications Manager. I would say we spent the majority of our time actually developing the user requirements and very little time building the solution itself.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't bite us in the end. We'll see what happens.
No.
All right. But it's a great story.
It's a great story.
If it works, okay, let's get going. Okay, so to kind of kick this process off, I'm gonna start with this is kind of pretty typical process. So I'll be like in my car on the way in, or I'll be in my car on the way out, or I'll be in an airport, or I'll be somewhere. And I'll have some massive brainstorm, the next incredibly brilliant idea. And so I'll pick up my phone, I'll say, call Worley Stephanie Company. My Windows phone says, okay. Oh, perfect. Oh, that's that. Look at that. Stephanie Worley. And it's calling Stephanie right now. So, and then this will kind of go through in a second, and I'll, once it, okay, all right. Okay, so, hi, Stephanie, it's Grad. I have a great story idea on the Academy Awards. I think Gravity is one of the best astronaut movies ever. Let's get a communication started. I'll be in the office shortly. See you then. And that's a pretty typical briefing, I think, right? Okay, yeah. And so thank you. Thank you, phone. So I'm going to switch to your machine now. So what happens is that Stephanie will get an email from me, and it kind of kicks off a process. And so what we're going to go through is Stephanie is now going to talk about what she does with that sort of relatively sketchy outline, how that turns into something, and then we're going to go from there.
Right. So thank you. And in advance, thank you, Kelly, and the rest of the team for what you have created, because it is going to make our lives much better.
And we're
better.
Actually using it already, which is the cool thing. We've got a whole bunch of stuff we've done with it already, which is nice.
So I love being a communications manager, and I love working with Grad. It can be a little
bit... You don't have to say that. It's okay. You're still
okay, I love being a communications manager. but it can be
a little crazy.
Okay.
I get it. It's okay. I got it.
And Grad has a lot of ideas about stories he wants to share with internal and external audiences, so trying to keep track of those can be challenging sometimes. Plus, he's got... like 22,000 unread emails in his inbox.
22,544, although that was when I got on the stage.
Okay.
So I'm sure it's a little higher than that now.
Yeah, and usually
but it's all spam. I mean, you know, and there's nothing important in there.
Except the ones that I send you are part of that. Typically.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
So the story that I'm about to show you is really a story that was born out of a need for us to improve the process of creating and managing and distributing stories to internal and external audiences, both through the blog that Grad has, through social media channels, and through activities like events when we want to have presentations that we're keeping track of. So typically the process in the past has looked like Grad will send me either an email or a voicemail or drop a note on my desk with an idea that he wants to have me create a story about. So I'll put that on my list of stories that I'm tracking, and I'll start collaborating with my peers or coworkers and try to get some information, start doing some research, and then I'll write a draft and I'll email it to Grad. And
really?
I won't get a
That's what those emails are. Okay.
And I won't get a response. So then I'll try to change the title and I'll put it in all caps.
That
and
doesn't
say,
work either.
Yeah.
No, that's not gonna happen.
And then I print it and then I try
I
to
that.
chase you around. Yeah. So really, I wait until the end of the week in my one-on-ones and we review a printout of these articles.
That works so great. Yeah.
It's really inefficient. And a lot of times, the stories that I've created, like half of them might not even make it in front of him for him to review. So it's inefficient in a number of ways.
I'm almost done the Valentine's Day post that you wanted me to review, so I'm really close on that one.
See what I mean? So what I want to share with you is something we're really excited about, because this is going to really change the workflow process that we have, not only our efficiency, but also the sort of speed to market, really how timely we can get our stories out. So let me start with the email or voicemail Grad just left me. So what you can see here is Grad left a voicemail, and you can see that it's got the the actual voicemail plus a speech-to-text translation. And that's a unified exchange, unified communications feature, technology that we have that will actually translate that speech into text. So as Brad was saying before, we have now apps for Office. And so I'm going to go in to my communications manager and show you that when I pull that up, I have the request that Brad has sent me to, is that me?
I think it might be. I think it's your necklace and colliding with the thing. Do you mind if I take your necklace? I'll give it back.
I'll give it back afterwards. All right. Let's see if we can do this. Yeah, you wear it.
I'll wear the necklace.
Then he'll look more like us.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's totally your necklace.
Sorry, everybody.
That's okay. Yeah, it's kind of a cool necklace, though.
Okay.
So I'll put that on.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it fits perfectly.
Okay, it looks good.
Yeah, there you go.
It's interchangeable. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so Brad made that request for me, and I opened my communications manager, and what you can see is that basically it's a form, and the title of the request has been pulled through. Brad's request, so the action he'd like me to take, has been pulled through as the description. Who sent me that request? Obviously it was Brad, and the publish date. All of these are editable, and it's set right now for today's date plus 3. So it will automatically publish, be scheduled to be published on that date. And we have the ability to determine if we want it published to internal or external audiences. So we'll keep it up both. I'm going to start my communication, and it's actually working right now to transfer this information to my SharePoint. But what I want to show you first is in this Manage tab, I have now a list of stories that are in production on my SharePoint site. So this is the same content that when I go to my communications manager, I will see the number of stories that I've got listed here, what stage in the creation process they are, who assigned them to me, and again, the schedule date and whether or not they're an internal or external audience. So this content is the exact same as what will be on the SharePoint site. So let's go back to create, and you'll see that in my notification here that the communication has been started. So I'll go ahead and click on this, and I will maximize my window, and I'll refresh here. And now we are actually in the SharePoint site, and this is my workflow tool. It's really the tool that I'll use on a daily basis, sort of like my project management tool for all of my communications. This is the detail page for the story that we're creating on Gravity. And again, same content here. One super cool feature is the integration of Yammer here actually customizes the Yammer feed and creates a tag based on the story that we're creating, and then gives me the ability to collaborate with my peers based on this one particular topic. So all of those communications that I would have would all be organized together. There's a materials section. This is sort of a resource section where I could drag and drop resource materials that I want to be able to reference as I develop this story. There's a task. I'll come back to that in a minute. And the ability to preview my communications and add social networks. So what I'm going to do right now is go in and just start this story. So I click on edit, which is a typical SharePoint feature here, or control. Mm-hmm. And you can see that my story is getting started already on the blog, for the blog. So this is the sort of default area for the blog. And I could write a couple things here. I'm just going to put this little text in here to show you that. And I'm not going to create this story because it takes a little longer than about, 2 minutes to
really?
Create the story.
5 minutes, all right? 5 minutes. Right.
But what I want to show you is, in addition to the blog, this tool has added in social media distribution channels that are associated with Brad's social media channels. So he's got a Twitter account, he's got a Yammer, a Facebook, and a LinkedIn account. And so these are associated with his particular accounts. And the Twitter one actually has been designed so that it will alert me to the number of characters that I can use when I create that Twitter
tweet.
Thank you. But the really cool piece of this functionality is that after the blog is created, and we move the publishing process forward, the blog will publish first, and then a shortened URL will append to each of the social media channels, and they will publish subsequent to the blog publishing. So I won't have to go back, Brad wouldn't have to go back and republish to each one of those individually, one at a time, but it's automatically published. So I'm going to save this, and sort of like any good cooking show, we actually have another story that is ready to publish.
So we put the raw thing in the oven.
Yep.
We broke for commercials.
Yeah.
And then we came back from commercials and the cooked cake is coming out.
It's coming out right now.
Okay, good. Well, let's put that up.
That cooked cake is called
Sweet.
For Megatrends in IT. So this story is like I said, it's done. You can scroll down. You can see the story for Megatrends in IT. We've got some formatting here. We've got an image. And we also have created the social media notes that will go out subsequent to the blog posting. So this is ready to go. So what I want to do is go ahead and start my task and send this on to Grad for his review and to publish. Now I think it's ready to go. Rocks. Hope you love it.
I never make changes, so I can imagine I'm going to just love it.
Yeah.
I might surprise you today, actually. You'll see what happens.
So what I'm going to do is save this. Actually, what I'm going to do is go back in. Let me edit it again. Okay, so
there you go.
There we go. So now this is actually kicking off the workflow. It's sending that communication to Grad. Really quickly, while it's going to Grad, I just want to show you that on this same tool, there is a homepage for me, and there is a similar one for Grad that actually keeps track of all of the stories that I have in production, keeps track of my tasks, and we have a calendar view that gives us the opportunity to look at holidays and publication dates and special events. So it gives us opportunity to be more strategic in our planning, mm-hmm. build out an editorial calendar, and then be really planful about the communications that we want to be able to publish. And we could dig in here and see that there are, for example, looks like 5 stories that are scheduled to be published on the 7th, on Friday. And if we don't want that many stories to go out on the 7th, we can actually go back in and edit that. And really, again, just be very planful about how we go through that process.
Okay.
So I'm curious now, Grad, what you think about, what you're going to think about this story that I've just sent you.
All right, so I'm going to surprise you today. So I'm going to, 7. All right, so it looks like I have a communications to review, right? And so there's actually a tool right in here called Take Action. And so I can actually just go right into Take Action if I want, and I can just approve it, and then just complete the task. And because I know you've probably done a great job, I don't even need to go look at it, right? Now, normally I could also go in and take a look at it and edit it and all that kind of stuff, but this allows me just to complete it right away and send it out for publishing.
Yep.
Which is really kind of a great way to do it. So while that's kind of publishing, Kelly, do you want to talk to me for a second about what you sort of see as the end process? Like, where are we going next?
Yes.
And what are the next things that are coming in meetings and next solutions?
So the first thing that's coming next after all this is I'm going to go home and get some sleep. But following all that, and once we get back into the office, as we showed today, we really have done a lot with Communications Manager and leveraging apps for Office in a very short period of time, but it has been a unique experience, and as we've gone through the process, we have identified a few additional enhancements that we want to roll out as part of Communications Manager. So right now, when Stephanie goes in and is creating content for her blog, she has the ability to insert in various images. We do want to make some improvements to the overall image handling capabilities, so it will allow her to actually wrap text around an image or maybe designate whether or not the image she's using for a blog should be the featured image or not. So we'll be looking to make that improvement. Another improvement that we want to make is the actual task approval process right now is a little bit more cumbersome than we would hope for. So we're going to actually have an area on the SharePoint page when you go in to review Stephanie's content. Instead of having to go back into the task and hit approval to kick off the workflow, you'll be able to actually approve that right in the content creation page.
Awesome, cool.
Which will save you a lot of time as well.
And I think the content's there, so take a look. So I'll let you touch right. those, okay? So now I get a mail saying the content's been distributed. And Kelly, I'll let you just kind of...
Yeah, so the nice thing about, again, the apps for Office and Communications Manager and the workflow is after the workflow has been kicked off and Grad has approved the content, he will receive another email notification letting him know that all of the content successfully published or did not to various sites. We didn't choose email, so that's why you'll see that those don't have the lovely green arrows associated with it. But I have the ability to go to the various distribution channels, again, right from the email to see all of the content. So I could go through each one of these and test the various content, and this is linked up to Grad's various social channels. So we could go through each one of those to see if the content's been there. But again, the beauty of having all of this right in the applications that we use every day, we see just by looking at this email and not having to go off to the various sites that the content has published and is available. So saving quite a bit of time and energy as well.
All right. Okay, so we are getting close to the end. I'm going to bring us in for the close here, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
Okay, so this is the same sort of slide we had on SPS, which is all the stuff you need to own, most of you own already, and then mostly work with partners. We use Provoke and Nintex to build this solution. So let me just kind of wrap up to where we started, which is, you know, we're moving into an experience-centric universe where the customer's at the center of a set of experiences that allow them to fast switch through the day, and we need to do a better job in IT and at Microsoft of combining those and putting those together. And, you know, for us, that is really the Copernican shift that we're making as a company. And that is, I think, the exciting thing about the times we live in today. So we're going to kind of wrap up now. We're going to open it for Q&A. I think what I'm going to do first is I'll do the drawing to make sure we get through that. And then we'll stick around for a few minutes afterwards. And with that, I thank you for your attention and time.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, so coming up to the stage is Elise. Elise is our intrepid EA, been amazing to work with, very helpful in this conference. So I'm going to draw Office 365. And so the way this works, just to kind of orient everyone, is that if I call your number, so get your raffle ticket out, if I call your number, you need to stand up, scream like you just won the like $100 million Powerball lottery, okay? Turn around in a circle, come running down the aisle like his price is right, okay? If no one reacts to the number, I'll read it again, and then I'm going to throw that number away, and I'm going to read another number until I get to 10, okay? So I need to know that there's a reaction to the number. So these are all the only tickets. Okay, great. All right, first number. And are they all 106? Do they all start 106? Is it the last three numbers that are different? Well, I'll read the whole number. Okay, here we go. Okay, the first number is 106593.
Who is it?
That was not the reaction I was looking for. 106593. That person does not win a free copy of Office 365. When you do win, by the way, I'm sure someone will, go down here, and we've got Steve Kappa, who actually helped build this app with us, and Stephanie together at that table. They will give you your office right here, but you also need to give them your name and sort of a couple pieces of information for legal reasons, and also so we can relentlessly spam you with our marketing engines. So, okay, next number. 106603. 106603. 603. All right, okay.
There we go.
I didn't hear any screaming.
Got it.
That dude, come on. How am I supposed to see a little hand? I mean, it's not an auction. All right, there's one. Come on down. Okay, all right, next one. 106942. Woohoo! Okay, that's a little better. Okay, thank you. 106452. Yay! Come on, Price is Right, let's go! So what's that? 106916. 916. All right, now we're getting better, okay. Maybe give something extra to the people who actually do this. Okay. 106591. All right. 106704. All right. 106976. 106976. Nope. Okay. How many people do we have so far? Keep the count for me, Elise, if you don't mind. Six so far, okay. 106993. Right here. Seriously? Bob Barker's not going to react to that. Yeah! Tear your shirt off, man! Go for it! Okay. You just won a free copy of Office! All right, 106601. 106601. Drink. 106560. Yes, that's a little enthusiasm. 106585. All right, sir, thank you. One more. Okay, last one for Office. Here we go. 106593. Really? We had two the same number? That's interesting. Okay, 106622. Woo, okay. I got a woo. Okay, all right, thank you very much. Thanks. Congratulations to the winners. All right. Now, the next one is for the Lenovo tablet. Lenovo's an excellent machine. Actually, we've been using Lenovo's through this demo today. I love my X1 Carbon. It's amazing. And they are giving us a really kind of a cool thing. They're going to let us let you choose whether you want an 8-inch. It's a brand new Lenovo 8-inch that just came out. Be kind of available for shipping in a couple weeks. And there's a Lenovo 10-inch that's been out for a short while, also an excellent machine, available almost immediately. So you can choose 8-inch or 10-inch, depending on what you prefer. And what we'll do is you're going to go to my left, so stage left, where Kelly will be standing along with Elise. Okay, good. Kelly and Elise will be over there. And they will take your name, number, and shipping information. And then they will ship the devices to you because we didn't have a giant pile of devices with us today. Okay, so the first one, and I am expecting big woos on this because these are $1,000 machines. Yes. Okay, so I want a serious woo, okay? 106633. Yeah. All right. 106986. Yeah,
high
thank
five.
You.
High five.
Thank you.
Yeah. So here's
give her two. just kidding. 106643. All right, come on down. 106984. Ooh, too bad. 106984.
Might be me.
That's you're not sure that it's an eight. An eight is this kind of like two circles on top of each other. Oh dear. That's, what are you doing to this?
That's the way they gave it to me.
I'm going to say that is an 8. Congratulations, sir. Well, right. Yeah. Woo! Okay. How many are we at? 4. All right. 106710. All right. 106695. 106695. Another one who's not sure what a 9 looks like, or what was the... You're all professionals here, right? I mean, I'm kind of assuming... I was assuming a general level of being able to know what a number looked like, but anyway. So, you want to show me your ticket, or you're not sure? Okay, I'm going to kind of put that one aside. 106-681. All right, come on down. 106-570. Woo, okay, that's okay. Okay. And 8, okay. Got down the last three here. 106-510. Yes, sir. That's how it's done, just in case you were wondering. 106-539. Thank you. And the last one, right? This last one. Last one, and I want to thank everyone for the time and attention today. It was great. You're a great audience. 106-680. 680. All right. Thank you.